Better, faster, greener. Optimize your cloud, 5G, and AI infrastructure with Supermicro's resource-saving server and storage systems based on second-generation Intel Xeon scalable processors. Better design, faster performance, greener efficiency. Supermicro has the broadest portfolios of application-optimized server and storage solutions. Learn more at supermicro.com.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, July 24th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Congress is hashing out the details for a new coronavirus stimulus package.
There's a whole bunch of moving parts in here, and we're just trying to get to the point now where even though those expanded unemployment benefits expire at the end of the month, we're just trying to get to the point where there's a Democratic proposal and a Republican proposal for them to negotiate.
How might the new package compare with earlier efforts? Our U.S. tax policy reporter Rich Rubin will tell us what to expect after the break.
Better, faster, greener. Optimize your cloud, 5G, and AI infrastructure with Supermicro's resource-saving server and storage systems based on second-generation Intel Xeon scalable processors. Better design, faster performance, greener efficiency. Supermicro has the broadest portfolios of application-optimized server and storage solutions. Learn more at supermicro.com.
There's bipartisan support for a second round of $1,200 stimulus checks for American households. But what can we expect to emerge from Capitol Hill? And is the IRS prepared? Our U.S. tax policy reporter Rich Rubin is here with the latest. So, Rich, it appears that Congress is likely to approve a new coronavirus stimulus bill for President Trump to sign, but the House and Senate are working on different proposals. What do we know about them? Walk us through the major differences.
So in the big picture, the two sides are still very far apart. The House passed a $3.5 trillion bill in May, and the Senate has been kind of waiting to see what the situation is, and they don't yet have an exact plan on what they're going to do. They've been meeting amongst themselves, among Senate Republicans, and they've been talking to the administration, and they're trying to come up with a consensus that they can then take and use as a starting point to negotiate with Democrats. And so the size of unemployment insurance, how much money goes for coronavirus testing, details on the payments that we'll talk about, other tax proposals. There's a whole bunch of moving parts in here, and we're just trying to get to the point now where even though those expanded unemployment benefits expire at the end of the month, we're just trying to get to the point where there's a Democratic proposal and a Republican proposal for them to negotiate.
Well, would these new proposals likely include more people?
As far as the individual payments, yes, it looks like it. The House proposal does include more people, adult dependents. So like you can imagine college students, senior citizens who are on someone else's tax return, as well as mixed status families, households where some people are citizens and some are not. Or some people are work eligible and have Social Security numbers and some are not. That includes some illegal immigrants, but it's more than that. And then the Senate proposal is likely to only expand for those adult dependents and not go beyond that. The income limits are likely to be start phasing out at $75,000 for individuals and $150,000 for married couples, just like the earlier version did.
Let's talk about the first round of stimulus money from this past spring. The IRS faced some problems in getting the money out to taxpayers. Remind us of what happened.
Yeah, so look, in the big picture, this went really fast, right? In the previous version in 2008 took months before they got a first set of payments out. They had 80 million payments, direct deposits out within a couple of weeks. That was a real significant accomplishment. And so we shouldn't underestimate the importance of that. On top of that, after that, though, there were some issues. There were payments to dead people. There were some households with children who didn't get the payments for the children. It took a while for the IRS to kind of work with Social Security Administration and the VA to get information about people who don't file tax returns but have benefits coming from those agencies and are still eligible. But the key thing here is that the IRS has done a lot of that work. They have a lot of the information. And so the more that the eligibility criteria for a second round of payments resembles the eligibility for the first round, the easier it's going to be for them to just, you know, hit the repeat button. It's not really that simple, but basically that and get payments out faster.
Has the IRS made technological improvements as far as how to get these payments out?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the IRS technology is aging and it's got its issues. I think the real issue is they've got information. So the IRS commissioner said this week they collected 14 million pieces of bank account information from people, so that, you know, if instead of those people getting paid like a few weeks later after they input that information, the IRS has that now and could theoretically move ahead relatively quickly in paying those people early. So I think they've definitely learned a lot about how this works, and they'll be doing it from a bit of a position of knowledge and from strength of being all kind of mostly back at work as opposed to working from home quite as much as they were a few months ago.
What about certain groups of people who got their checks very slowly the first time? Has that been resolved?
I don't know about resolved. There are definitely still a lot of low-income households that are still haven't gotten payments, and the IRS is trying to find ways to reach them. You know, one of the interesting things about this program is that they really set out to make it eligible for people who don't have much income or even any income. And so that's a group that includes people who don't have other contacts with the federal government. They might not have Social Security benefits. They might not have VA benefits. They might not file tax returns because they don't make enough money. And so the IRS just doesn't really have a file on them in the same way and up-to-date information. And so reaching out to those people, whether it's homeless people, it's low-income people, it's immigrants, it's, you know, people who just aren't in that normal system that we think of in terms of usual tax filing, they've done a fair amount of work and have a lot more work to go in terms of getting those people into their files.
Is the IRS saying how fast it might get the money out to consumers this time?
No, they're not saying anything yet, and I wouldn't expect them to say anything for a while. The IRS's job is to implement the laws that Congress gives them. And so when we're in the situation we're in, which is Congress is thinking about a law but hasn't passed it, the IRS is not going to go out and start proposing, you know, talking about what it's going to do or what it can do. You know, the IRS is obviously involved in these conversations. The Treasury Department is. They make Congress well aware of what they can and can't do, but they try to limit the information that they provide to the public in terms of setting expectations, really, until there's something that's actually a law, and then they're implementing it, and then we'll, and that could be a few weeks, and then we'll have some better clarity and guidance from the IRS on how this is all going
to
work.
Rich, what do we know about the enhanced unemployment benefits that are set to expire at the end of the month?
So it seems like we're pretty well likely heading into a period where there's going to be some lapse in those. And so that's going to be a problem for a lot of households. And the negotiations are going on. It's a big sticking point for Republicans who say that it's providing a disincentive for people to get back to work. Democrats will argue that, well, no, we actually aren't seeing much in the way of disincentives for going back to work. We're like, the virus is the disincentive to go back to work, and we need to make households as whole as possible or more than. And so Republicans are trying to kind of settle on some mechanics for replacing part of wages, but not give people more than they were making before the pandemic. And we'll see in the coming days whether they can come up with some sort of proposal and then take that into the negotiations with Democrats.
Yeah, workers got another $600 in weekly unemployment checks, and Republicans want to cut that.
Yes, so there was a $600 addition to regular unemployment benefits, and so that means that many people can make more from unemployment benefits than they were making before. Republicans want to kind of bring that below full replacement income level, and so we'll just see as they negotiate and figure out that plan what that's actually going to look like. And so that obviously leaves, you know, many millions of people in limbo right now because those $600 a week payments are going to start expiring.
U.S. tax policy reporter Rich Rubin. Thanks, Rich.
Sure. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal.